Hey guys, my name is Mavi and I've spent the last 14 years in the plastic surgery and beauty industry, working alongside top board certified plastic surgeons.
Now I'm an independent patient coordinator who doesn't work for any surgeon. This means I have unbiased reviews for hundreds of doctors and I can help you achieve the look of your dreams, whether that's a supernatural or a video vixen. I use my professional and personal plastic surgery experience to help you look and feel your best.
Join in on the fun as I talk to plastic surgery experts, friends, and real-life patients about all things plastic surgery. Should be fun.
Hey guys, do I have the episode for you today? So today I have one of my very good friends and also one of our experts from our beginning of season one, Miss Courtney from Windy City Mechanics, is here with us today. And you guys, I am so excited to have her. Thank you for being here with us.
Well, thank you for having me. I brought a little bit of the Windy City to H-Town, so it's good to be here.
Yay. So Windy City to H-Town, you are in Chicago and you work mainly with...
I work mainly with a lot of the Chicago area physicians. I do get some dolls from Houston. I get a lot from Miami, DR, but I can tell you a lot about the Chicago area for sure.
Awesome. So you have all the know. You have everything we need to know. So our first episode we did, that was part one. Mm-hmm. This is part two. So now we're going to get into the real juice, right? Like, tell us what you see day in and day out. What do you see with girls who are coming with to see you for liposuction, for tummy tuck massages after surgery? Tell us a little bit about all of it, because you and I both know that there is a lot of contradiction on how soon should you have your massages? How many massages should you have? Mm-hmm. All of that information. Why don't you give us a little bit of background and what you're seeing and what you do and kind of all of that?
I will tell you that there is a lot of conflicting information out there. You are going to have some doctors, especially in the Chicago area, who will tell you, oh, you don't need massages. I have encountered that even up to like a couple years ago. However, the client themselves did the research, end up getting massages. They go for their post-op care. The doctor is like, you look great. What have you been doing? Oh, I've been getting massages. And so now they're referring their clients to get massages. So I will tell you, the sooner that you start with lymphatic work, lymphatic massages post-op, you will feel better faster, okay, which is extremely important. And you'll look better. Don't you want to look better?
Absolutely.
We want to maximize those results and feel better faster. You know, I just had a tummy tuck and Lipo 360 myself in October of 2022. And I will tell you, getting a massage, it helps you feel better. Like, you want to feel better faster because that first week is terrible.
Absolutely.
So I will say for Lipo 360 and a BBL or if it's just lipo, you can start this next day. People are afraid of that, but you can literally start the next day. We're not there to hurt you. The massage is extremely light. And I also think that's where a lot of misinformation comes in. They're like, it's going to hurt. It's, you know, they're going to be so rough. No.
Well, you teach this. Mm-hmm. So this is really, I think this is a really important point for us to make, because we both know that there's a lot of people in this space who are not in it for patient care. They're in it for finances or because they saw money in it. And you and I know that the care and the passion has to be there.
Yes.
For, you know, successful massages that are impactful for a patient.
Yes, definitely. My goal is not to inflict pain. My goal is to make you feel better. So if I feel during our session that you can't handle this, I'm going to stop. I'm going to see you next time, because that's not my goal. My goal is to for you to look forward to me coming to see you. I always tell people, hey, look, the first couple visits may be a little bit rough, but after that, you're going to be great. I recommend starting the very next day after surgery. Then I usually see my clients at least 2 to 3 times a week, depending. And then we kind of taper off. So after maybe the first 2 weeks, it'll go down to once a week. Then it'll go to once every other week. Then we're doing wood therapy. We're doing some radio frequency to help tighten the skin. We're doing cavitation to help with any unevenness that you may have just for maintenance moving forward. So as far as the number of massages, I tell people at the very minimum, 5, at the very minimum. This all depends on your budget. Okay. I tell people, hey, look, if you can do 10, let's do 10. I've also have to work with people for several months, but I've been doing post-op care for 10 years. I still have dolls that I see
for maintenance.
10 years.
for maintenance.
And they still look amazing. It's totally up to you. But hey, look, I'm here because I want you to look good too. So we're going to take care of that body, that booty.
I think that really brings up an important point of pain during these massages because, I mean, that's the number one thing you hear, right, from dolls, that they're having pain, that the massages are too painful, that there's just too much and they just don't want to do it. So why is it so painful for some and not painful for others? Is that massage therapist or is it like each patient's tolerance?
I think maybe both. Also, a third thing, how aggressive the doctor was, right? So, you know, your pain tolerance may be extremely low. The technique may be different from someone else's, or your doctor was probably extremely aggressive in a certain area. And that's why you're feeling so much pain. I always tell people, we're going to go extremely light. And then as you heal, I'm going to give you a little bit more pressure because as time goes on, that's when the body kind of toughens up. That's when people start to think they have fibrosis because that's when the body's starting to toughen up and harden up. So I'm going to give you a little bit more pressure, but we ease into that. But again, people's pain tolerance is different. So it all depends. Everybody is different.
Everybody is different. I hear that everywhere from the surgeons to massage therapists to the fajas, like torso lengths, like literally, you guys. Everybody is different. Each person has to have a personalized treatment plan.
And your massage therapist should customize the session for you. So I always check in, like, is that okay? You know, if you need a break, let me know. I'm not here to kill you. You know, if you need a break, let me know. If you want to stop, let me know. I customize everything for each person because after 4 to 6 weeks, I start to introduce, you know, wood therapies and stuff like that. If they can't handle it at that time, I don't do it. So everything is customized. And then I also ask, what are your body goals? Where are we trying to go with this? So massage therapists, customize your sessions, okay, for your clients. Very, very important.
I agree. I 100% agree. So I think you touched on something that is also controversial. How soon can you start wood therapy? How soon can you start the cavitation and radio frequency and all of those things? There's such a wide range of answers.
Yes. This is a toughie because I find myself in this world, this post-op, this plastic surgery world, trying to educate people. And I'm in a lot of surgery groups and I see comments of, I'm a week post-op and they're doing cavitation on me and I don't see any results. And I'm like, why are you getting cavitation? You're still draining. You're still anything that is used in a body contouring service or in a maintenance service should be after 4 to 6 weeks. Okay. That's when your drains are closed. That's when all the acute inflammation is kind of subsiding. And that's when we can kind of go into somewhat of a maintenance mode. Okay. I've seen wood therapy being done a week post-op. Your client's still bruised. Why are you doing that?
Wood therapy?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
If you're listening to this right now, you guys, do not let anybody touch you with wood therapy a week after surgery. Please do not. And if they try, you know that that person is not educated enough or qualified to be doing these treatments on you. 1 week after surgery? No, absolutely not.
Correct. The things that I hear and I see, I just can't even believe. So that's why I'm a firm believer in education. And if you're going to do it, let's do this the right way. So I have to see a lot of my clients after they've already been subjected to these treatments and we got to play catch up, right? So wood therapy, the only wood tool that I will use would be a sculpting board. That's a very kind of flat tool. I wish I had it to show you. But I use that very lightly just to stimulate the lymphatic system. I'm not trying to carve out anything. I'm not it's just very, very lightly just to go over the skin. So that's the only time you'll see me pull out a tool in the very beginning. But girl, I've seen it all. So that's why I'm very, very big on education, because I can't believe some of the stuff that I've seen.
You know, I get a lot of messages from plastic surgeons that are like, can you please talk about this? Why are people getting wood therapy? Why are they getting radio frequency so soon? Like, the plastic surgeons are freaking out. Mm-hmm. They do not like this at all.
Mm-hmm. And it's bad because the client's going to go for their post-op. Their skin's going to be super, super hard. So I'm going to give you an example. If you are 2 weeks post-op and you're getting cavitation, let's say you still have fluid coming out of you, okay? The cavitation is going to harden up that fluid and it's not going to go well. If you have a seroma, it's going to harden up the casing, for lack of a better word, of the fluid. So you're going to have other issues going on. So there's a method to my madness, okay? There's a reason why we don't do this, because you're going to cause more harm than good to your client. And then that client's going to go have to go back to their plastic surgeon and get that removed or get that fixed. So there's always a method to my madness. I've had people ask me for wood therapy in the very beginning just because they've seen it on Instagram or they saw it on YouTube. I educated my clients, say, no, we're not doing that. You got to educate your clients. You have to do things the right way to get the best result for your client.
So how would somebody, for example, one of our listeners today, that they are planning to have their surgery, right? Maybe they have it a month away and they're trying to line up their post-op care. What should they look for in their post-op therapist to know, like, okay, this person knows what they're doing, mm-hmm. or this person's not going to try something crazy on me?
Yeah. So I would always look for, when I teach my classes, I always tell my therapists that are in my class, post your work. So the clients want to see the befores and the afters, right? Just if we're looking for a new hairstylist or we're looking for, you know, whatever we're looking for, someone to do our nails, we want to see the end result. So let's see the before and afters. Look at what they're posting in their feed. If they're posting late that they do lace front wigs in addition to post-op care, that's probably not someone that you want to go to. This should be their bread and butter, all that they do. Or if it's not all that they do, that account that you're following or that website that you're looking at should have everything lined up for you to look at. You should see a good bio. You should know what massage therapy school they went to, how many years of experience. Ask for word of mouth referrals. Like, hey, have you heard of this person? Ask your doctor. Hey, have you heard of this post-op therapist? Ask around to get the best referral, because again, this is your investment. You spent X amount of dollars on your body. That person has to take care of your investment.
Absolutely. What do you think about when surgeons are like, okay, when surgeons are like, the surgery is only 50% of the work and the other 50% is you and massage.
Oh, I totally agree. Surgery is the easy part. The post-op care is where people drop the ball, because people think, oh, I got this surgery, I'm gonna look good for the gram for the summer. No, girl, it's just beginning.
This is just the start.
Yeah, it's because people don't realize I'm going to be on you about drinking water. A lot of people don't drink water, don't eat vegetables.
I wish you guys could see me, because I'm like, I know. Trust me. I know.
I have to tell people to eat vegetables. If you're, especially with lipo BBL, feeding the fat. No, people think, shout out to Harold's in Chicago, okay? People think going to Harold's and eating a 6-piece fried hard is feeding the fat. No, that's not what I'm talking about. I want you eating some avocados. I want you eating salmon. I want you eating nuts. I want you to eat good fats that's going to feed that healthy fat that's been grafted to you. So I have to teach people how to eat right. I had a client who was diabetic who did not know what a protein was, because I wanted her to eat protein so she could, to help heal herself. She didn't know what that was. So a lot of our jobs is education. And unfortunately, a lot of people think surgery is it, and that's just the beginning.
It's just the beginning. I tell you guys all the time that, and I mean, I've had girls on here who explain in their own journey how they had to make lifestyle changes prior to surgery in order to maintain the results that you're getting from surgery. Because the having a tummy tuck and having liposuction is not the end.
Yep.
It's literally the beginning of your whole new life, of your whole new you, of the new way that you have to take care of yourself, of the new way that you have to eat, of the new way that you gain weight, mm-hmm. of the new way of you.
Yes. When you get a tummy tuck and lipo, you gain weight. The fat's going to go into other places. Mm-hmm. Okay. It's going to mm-hmm. go to those arms. It's going to go to those. It's going to go to those thighs. So you still have to take care of yourself regardless. Especially with tummy tucks, because so many things can go wrong. You open the door for a necrosis. You open the door for your incision to open up. You know, you can't be around people who are smokers. There are just so many things you have to take into account that a lot of people don't think about. So especially with tummy tucks. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my God.
Have to be careful.
So you guys, Courtney and I went to lunch before this.
We did.
It was good. It was delicious. I took her for some real Texas food. Yes. So we were sitting at lunch and we were talking about combo procedures, right? And how popular combination procedures are with tummy tucks, lipo 360, BBL. And, you know, we were talking about patient care and what is the best way to care for yourself when you have a combination procedure. And something came up that I think is really important for us to talk about, which is when you have a combination procedure, tummy tuck, lipo 360, BBL, the most important thing that you have to take care of is the tummy tuck. Mm-hmm. Do not mm-hmm. go try to lay on your belly to protect that BBL. Mm-hmm. Please.
Please don't.
Please don't. Please don't. Your abdomen is a lot more sensitive, yes. delicate, prone to something happening, something bad happening, a wound opening, your incision just opening up. If you had a tummy tuck, lipo 360 BBL, and you are trying to lay on your belly after that tummy tuck, and so that you protect the BBL, mm-hmm. no. Please if don't. You're doing that, please don't.
Please hear us.
Please listen. Do so, not.
With combo procedures, guys, you have to be very creative in how you sleep. Because I know that's where the main issue lies, in trying to sleep. If you don't get sleep, you go crazy. I understand that. So I tell people, please get you some wedges. Pregnancy wedges are the bomb.
The U-pillow.
The U-pillow, a body pillow, like whatever. Get creative with pillows, okay? You're going to have to try to figure it out. You're going to spend a lot of time on your knees, okay? But no, you're going to spend a lot of time on your knees because, yes, you don't want to put pressure on your butt. However, laying on the abdomen, putting any pressure on that extremely sensitive abdomen that has just been cut open, okay? We're going to be graphic here because it's real. Okay. You have been cut open from hip to hip. In my case, I got an extended tummy tuck. Okay. So my incision is a little bit further. Hip to hip, your muscles have been repaired. You've been sewn back together. All of that blood supply, that circulation has been compromised. Okay. So we're trying to get put back together. Okay. You do not want to lay on that sensitive abdomen. Also, the belly button is a little bit less blood circulation around that area, around the belly button. You have to be extremely, extremely careful. So if you're going to save anything, save that tummy tuck. You're going to lose some fat anyway with the BBL. So, I mean, even if you have a pillow under your tailbone, you're going to put less pressure on it. Please lay on your back.
Please lay on your back. Do not lay on that tummy tuck.
Don't do it. And I was confused as to how this person in particular that I mentioned was mentioning to you, how she even did that. Because
I even tried
to lay on my, I was like, let me just see how it feels. And I was like a few weeks post-op. I was like, I can't do this. Like, it was too much. So we just want you to be careful. And just, if you're going to save something, save the tummy tuck. Because trying to get a revision on a tummy tuck, that's so much drama.
So much more difficult.
So much more difficult. Yes. You can always add some more fat to your butt.
Exactly. So what do we mean by save the tummy tuck? So what can possibly go wrong with you laying on it instead of laying on your butt? So the number one thing that you can have is probably some wound opening, yes. some incision mm-hmm. opening. You could also have some necrosis. Yes. So if your abdomen flap, like when they are doing your tummy tuck, that whole piece of skin that they lift up off your body and then pull it down and redrape it and attach everything back together, it needs to receive blood flow. very nice, fresh, nutritious,
yes.
oxygenated blood flow to that skin and that new incision. All mm-hmm. of that needs to be taken care of like a little tiny baby. Like, you just pretend that your tummy tuck incision is a little tiny baby mm-hmm. that you are taking care of, and you're making sure that it has everything it needs to survive yep. because that's really what we're doing. That abdominoplasty flap needs to survive.
Yes.
It needs to get blood flow, right? It needs to reattach. So yep. it's very important, you guys.
Very important. Let me tell you how paranoid I was about my... Okay. Shout out to Dr. ZZ in Chicago. Okay. He had to deal with my craziness. So maybe like a week or two post-op, I noticed a red mark, like right under my belly button. I don't know. It just looked, it was red. Okay. I literally sent him a picture. I said, I don't know what's going on. I need antibiotics. I was freaking out. He looks at it. He's like, it just looks like a little irritation. But because he's thebomb.com, he put in a prescription for me for antibiotics. Better safe than sorry. But seriously, you want to, a lot of people, we were talking about this earlier, are scared to look at themselves, scared to touch themselves. Please, you have to take a look at that incision because it is paramount that it heals properly. Even the smallest opening can cause bigger problems.
Absolutely.
So be a freak like I was and study your incision.
Better safe than sorry. Yeah,
for sure. Especially with the belly button too, because belly buttons take forever to heal. So look at your belly button too. I was always staring at it. I was like, Dr. ZZ, hey, what's going on with my belly button? He's like, you're fine. I'm like, okay, I just needed you to say
that. I just wanted you to say that. As long as I know you think it's fine. Okay, I'm good. But dude, isn't that like just shows how important it is to have a good relationship with your surgeon? Yes,
for sure. I cannot stress that enough. No shade to anyone who goes, you know, to Dominican Republic or Miami, but you cannot beat a local surgeon who you can call,
DM, count on
that part with any crazy issue, complaint that you may have. Okay. I have a client of mine who went to Miami and she had questions and no one called her back. They did, however, after 6 months, call her back. Because they said, oh, we were looking at your file. It's been 6 months since we've been here. We have a special on a tummy tuck. She's like, I had questions 6 months ago about my surgery. There's not that one-on-one bedside manner client care. It's just not there. So, but again, no shade. Because there are some good doctors. There's some good work out there. But for my experience, I'll just say for me. I cannot beat being able to, you can't beat have texting your doctor, sending him a picture like, hey, what's going on with me?
What do you think this is?
Right. What do you think this is?
Because even even that message of reassurance, everything's fine, it looks fine, is so relieving to you, yes. right? And it relieves your anxiety mm-hmm. and your worry.
Yes. And although I've been in these plastic surgery streets for about, 10 plus years. I've seen it all. When it's you, it's something different.
Oh my God, I've said that before.
I mean, I say this to all my clients that are doctors, RNs, all that medical stuff, it goes out the window. Yeah, that's what
I'm a baby.
Yeah, you forget everything because you're like, oh my God, I'm dying. What's going on? You know, so you need the reassurance, you know, and so I'm just glad he was there. Shout out to Dr. Azizi again. I love you. But
Dr. Azizi is a fan favorite for sure. He really has been, if you have not heard the Let's Get Real About BBLs mm-hmm. episode that I did with Dr. Azizi, you're missing out. Because I love a surgeon who's like forthcoming with information. He loves to teach mm-hmm. and you can tell.
Mm-hmm. And let's fangirl about Dr. Azizi real quick. Y'all, he is about to shut Chicago down, okay? He's about to do some things that no one has done ever. I don't know, maybe. So look, if you're looking for a one-stop shop in Chicago to get your body done, have some place to stay, get your massages, go check out Dr. Azizi. He's worth every single penny. When you meet him, you can be like, you know what?
Let me sign that check.
Let me sign that check. Seriously. Don't come in the winter though. It's really cold, but come in the summer. But no, seriously, like he's about to do some things that I don't think has ever been done before. A one-stop shop.
I love it. Here in the U.S. at least.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely not in the, yeah, we don't have that in the U.S. Now, Colombia, all that, you can get a lot of stuff done, but not in the U.S. for sure.
So. He, you know, we had an episode and he told us about opening his new surgery center and that he was going to have a recovery room floor or recovery house floor.
It's open. It's beautiful. You have your surgery. And if you're staying, you have to walk up some stairs, but you don't remember the walk up the stairs, ladies. It's run by an RN. Shout out to Sky. Shapes Recovery House. It's beautiful. Everything is state of the art, super clean. Everyone has amazing experiences. Yeah, it's dope.
I love it. Mm-hmm. Dr. Azizi, you're a fan fave.
We love you.
Hearts. Heart emoji.
Yes, he literally changed my life. He did my boobs in 2020, December, and tummy tuck Lipo 360 October of 2022, and literally has changed my life. So shout out to him.
Dr. Azizi, the life changer.
Mm-hmm, period. Mic drop.
You know what? So you get to see a lot of different women coming from different surgeons, mm-hmm. different paths, right? So what have you seen from coming from Miami? I'm sure you've seen some that it's good, mm-hmm. but I'm sure you've seen some bad. And the thing is, most of the time we only hear about the good and we're not really hearing about the bad.
Yeah.
And what I want to do with this podcast is be upfront and honest about mm-hmm. what it is that's out there in our environment, in the plastic surgery world. What is going on out there?
As you all know, Miami is a factory for plastic surgery. You can go to Miami and in 5 days come back home. You know, after lipo BBL, I'm not sure how long they want you to stay after a tummy tuck. However, a lot of people don't stay that long. They want their lipo and they just want to come back home. So there have been instances where someone has come back too soon. And when you come back too soon, you have to deal with blood clots. You have to deal with
seromas.
Yeah, just a lot of things that there's a reason why they want you to stay at least 5 days. You want to stay for the correct amount of time and then also listen to your body. If you don't feel good, guys, don't get on that plane. I've seen people and I've literally noticed something is not right about them. So I ask a lot of questions when I meet with my client for the first time. And if you're looking pale, if you're not breathing right, I'm like, okay, let's get you to urgent care. Now, the tough thing about going outside of your home state or city for surgery is that if you go to the emergency room and something happens to you, it's a liability issue.
You guys have heard me talk about how there's women coming across the border and there's hospitals not taking them. And the backlash that I hear is like, oh, but there are hospitals. They have to take everybody.
No, they're going to give you a Tylenol and tell you to call that doctor that did that. It's a liability issue. So this person in particular that I'm thinking of, she, instead of staying for 5 days, I think she only stayed two. She came back too soon. She had to end up getting a blood transfusion because I noticed her skin tone wasn't quite right. She was breathing a little like shallowly. So at that point, I don't do anything. So that's another thing for a post-op therapist. Look at your client as a whole. Like, don't come over there like, okay, we're going to do this massage and that's it. No, if they don't look like they can handle it, we're not going to do that because you can cause more harm than good. But anyway, you want them to stay. And if something does happen, which I tell people anyway, if you go to the ER, they're going to give you a Tylenol and tell you to call your doctor. And then you call that doctor. You're probably not going to hear from them because they got your money and you're gone. So you just have to be careful, you know?
I wish I had a different story to tell you guys, but that's it. Mm-hmm. Like, I see that all the time, not just for Miami, like people who go across the border. You guys know that I do refer to Dr. Marisol Zamora, who's in Mexico. She's the only doctor that I refer to in Mexico, strictly because I know that sometimes finances are a decision maker, right? So I found somebody in Mexico that I refer to. I love her. Everybody that I have sent to her has had a great, amazing experience, but she's very strict. Like, if you have a surgery with her, you are staying at least 14 days. If you can't stay 14 days, then I'm sorry. She's like, I'm sorry, then I can't do your surgery. Okay, then I'm... That's kind of like the patient has to make a decision. Okay, well, either I go to Mexico and stay for 14 days minimum, mm-hmm. or I stay here and I pay X amount of dollars. So that's a really personal decision for each patient. So I do send patients to her knowing that she is very strict, requires things that most surgeons in Mexico do not require. Like, I've heard people going across from California to TJ, having a tummy tuck lipo 360 BBL, and then driving from TJ to San Diego, post-op day two, thinking, well, I don't have to come back to see her until post-op day seven. So I'm just going to go home. But you guys do not realize, like, you're in a vehicle, right? You're in the vehicle for however amount of hours. You're not moving. You're not moving your legs. You're not circulating. A blood clot can happen very easily. And those are the things that we have to take responsibility for as people who are looking for plastic surgery. We have to make the right decisions for ourselves. And even if it's not convenient, like, fuck, I don't want to stay somewhere for 14 days. Well, then I'm sorry. Don't do it.
Can we also talk about the thirst? So a lot of people want the surgery and then they're thirsty to show it off to the gram. Do not be thirsty.
Do not be thirsty. I think please I have don't. A meme. It's like, can you get better first, please?
Like, let's get better first. Like, if the doctor says stay for 14 days and I want you to have an EKG and I want you to do that, that's the doctor you need to go to because they care.
Because they're actually interested in your well-being mm-hmm. and not just in your money.
Yeah. So if you have to stay, do that. The gram is going to be there. The boat is going to be there.
Your birthday will be there next year.
Yeah. Like, your health is more important. You don't know how many clients I ask, am I going to be okay by my birthday? When is your birthday?
In tomorrow. 2 weeks?
No. Can I go on a boat this weekend?
You just had surgery. Right. No.
No. So, girl.
You guys know that one of the things that I always kind of preach about is when you're looking for your plastic surgery and you're making decisions, right, of when you want to have it, time is not a determining factor. Like, oh, I want to be ready for this specific day. For example, if you're trying to get ready for a wedding, because I get a lot of brides who want to do breast augmentations, they want to do stuff to their face, they want to do body. You need at least 6 months before your wedding. Like, do not try to go get your breast augmentation the month before, 2 months before. Like, you need 6 months for all of that stuff that you are doing, lipo or breast augmentation or facelift or Botox. Or Botox, you need 4 months, not 6 months. You need at least 3 to 4 months. But filler, all of these things, like, you want to give yourself time for in case something does not look right how I want it. Yeah. In case something goes wrong or in case something doesn't look like how I want it to look, I have time. Yep. And I'm not in a rush. So if you guys on Instagram, I have like this post, if you want to be ready by February, you have to have surgery by November. If you want to be ready by the summer, you got to have surgery in December. Like, all of these time frames to really give yourself some space, some leeway, kind of some wiggle room. You guys, we have a waiter. It's my daughter. She just brought us some chocolate-covered walnuts and almonds. I have the best daughter.
She's so cute.
But it's so important. It really is important. And you get to see a lot, Courtney, I'm sure. And this couldn't be a better conversation right here because we both get to see a lot. You get to see a lot when they're coming to you for massage. Mm-hmm. And I get to see a lot when they're coming to me for revisions.
Yeah. Yep.
So I think it's very important for us to be open about these conversations. And an episode that the Faha Doctor and I have been trying to work on.
Shout out to Diana.
You guys, if you have not gone to check out the Faha Doctor, who's releasing her new, like, very own made Faha brand, which I think it's Be Defiantly You. I love it.
Oh, that's what it stands for? Girl, I didn't even know that. I love it.
Yeah, I love it. So the Faha Doctor, you guys know, is hearts, hearts, hearts. Yes. I love that girl. Mm-hmm. I'm so proud of
her. She's shutting it down. She's killing it.
She is. But we've talked about all of these things. You know, these are really important things for us to discuss. Mm-hmm. I want you always to know what's going on out there, mm-hmm. and for you to make the best decision for you.
Yes.
No matter what. Your sister-in-law might have gone to this guy and he did a good job on her, or your friend went over here and it was mm-hmm. fine for her. That's fine. That's fine for them.
Right. That part.
Right. Like, that's mm-hmm. you went over there and it was good. Great. Let me do my own research mm-hmm. and figure out who's the best guy for me, yes. for my surgery.
And even pick someone that you vibe with, you know, that, you know, a lot of these people, I'm not going to name names, but you don't meet the surgeon until the day of, you know?
Y'all know I don't like that.
So, I mean, let's get with someone who you can actually talk to and tell them what your body goals are, that you vibe with, you like them. You will feel so much more calmer and at ease having your surgery.
Absolutely.
And also know that post-op care is just as important, if not more important, than what happens before. You will mess yourself up without the proper post-op care. You will look great on the table. But after that, if you're not taking care of yourself, it goes out the window.
So let's elaborate. What does taking care of yourself after your plastic surgery mean?
Okay. So that means that you have your massages booked already. Because I think no one understands how fast we book up. Okay. So we are about to,
because there's not that many of y'all.
Yeah. That's part two. So we're kind of coming into what we call surgery season. Okay. We kind of get a little slow around the holidays, and then probably like mid-February, it picks up like nothing ever happened. Okay. But regardless of that, you need to have your massage sessions booked. Okay. Get your schedule from your massage therapist, know how to contact them. You need to have your refrigerator stocked with good food. Okay. My partner, shout out to Eunice, will go in your refrigerator and see what you're eating and we'll throw it out. She doesn't care. I'm going to ask you, are you drinking water? Because we can tell by how you feel. So water intake, your food, your massages. Are you going to your post-op visits? You know, are you just laying around the house not doing anything? You have to get back into your routine, because that too, we were talking about that earlier, helps you feel better faster. You cannot just lay around in bed. Woe is me. Woe is me. I'm in pain. I just had surgery. Let's try to slowly get back into your routine, because you will feel better, because you'll feel
normal. Back to normal.
Yeah. You'll yeah. feel normal. So for myself, for example, I slowly try to get myself back in the routine. Now, I ain't going to lie. The first 3 to 4 days, I was like, what happened? But mentally, I was prepared. I'm like, okay, this is going to hurt, blah, blah, blah. By day 5, I said, okay, let me sit in my car. By the next day, I said, let me try to drive to Starbucks. Y'all know I love my Starbucks, okay? I didn't go by myself, guys, okay?
She's like, I was accompanied.
But I had my mommy come with me. But I'm like, let me try to drive my car to Starbucks. Let me try to pick my daughter up from school. Let me slowly try to get back into my routine so that I can feel better faster and I can mentally know where I am. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So please don't sit around the house. Go outside, get some air, eat good food, drink water, eat your vegetables, have your massages booked, go to all your post-op visits. That's all I need from you.
It's not that bad. I think the toughest part is, and I always tell my girls how important it is to get mobile and to be mobile right after surgery. So, for example, if you have a tummy tuck lipo 360 BBL, which is a really big surgery, that's a big surgery. You're going to feel like crap. Like, you're not going to want to get up. This is also less if you prepare before surgery. So like before surgery, if you start changing your eating habits and you're working out 3 to 4 times a week, mm-hmm. and you've already made like lifestyle changes before surgery, after surgery, it's easier to get right. back into those habits, mm-hmm. right? So do not lay around because you're asking for a blood clot.
Yep.
Do not stay there and not get up for 3 to 4 days because you're asking for trouble. I don't know in what other, like the nicest way I could say it to you guys, but if you're laying around after a tummy tuck and you're not getting up and walking every mm-hmm. 2 to 3 hours, you're not mobile, you're asking yeah. for trouble.
And look, guys, from experience, I know that it hurts. It does not feel good. Your body is pulling you forward. I get it. I understand, but you got to get up. I mean, I forced myself to, okay, let me try to watch a show and sit up, you know, and watch a show. That's why I always had pillows with me. I played with pillows because you can't sit straight up. You're pulling, getting pulled forward. You play with positioning, but do not just lay down. Very, very important. Can't stress that enough.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And also, moving around helps your lymphatic system. So a little bit of walking, deep breathing, even slight movements, just range of motion with your feet, even while you're sitting or you're laying down, helps with lymphatic flow. So when you're swollen, that's what you want to do, is increase the lymphatic flow, right? So just moving around will definitely help that. So it will increase your rate of healing for sure.
So what do you recommend? I like to follow what my surgeons have always recommended, which is get up and walk a lap around your living room, mm-hmm. walk to the bathroom, yep. go to the kitchen every 2 to 3 hours. If it's nighttime and you're trying to sleep, sleep. Mm-hmm. Sleep is more important.
Yes.
Sleep is more important. But if you're awake, you need to be walking around. And I don't mean like, oh, you're going around and you're just striding, you're just yeah. going fast. Like, you're going to be slow, and uh-huh. that's okay. That's perfect. That's yeah. fine. It's what we expect. It's what we know you're going to be slow, but that doesn't matter. It's not how fast you are. It's not how fast
it's
you're
the
walking.
Fact that you're moving.
It's the fact that you're moving. You are, your blood is circulating. You're moving your feet. You're moving your legs. If you are laying down for a long time and maybe you're waiting for somebody, because this is what I hear from my girls. Oh, I'm waiting for my husband or my mom to come back so that they can help me get out of bed, which is fine. Totally normal. Pump your feet.
Yep.
Just if you're laying there, just pump your feet. What does that mean? Like if you have
like
your
flexing
feet,
your, like you're kicking in a swimming pool, just like that, like up and down, up mm-hmm. and down.
Like mm-hmm. you are like, put your legs out in front of you. And you move your toes up, pointing towards the sky, and then point them towards the door or the wall in front of you, mm-hmm. and point them up to the sky and point them out to the door in front of you or to the wall. And just do that a few times while you're waiting until they come get you. And then you're going to get up and walk. That's perfectly fine. Just knowing how, like, you in your mind need to know how important it is for you to move around.
Yes.
And there's no excuses that you can make to get out of it. Like, yeah. you have to do it.
Because you'll get stiff if you're just laying there doing nothing. And that's why you're going to feel that pulling feeling that a lot of people talk about after lipo, the burning, you're feeling like your skin's being ripped apart. I mean, normal feelings after lipo, but you will be better if you just kind of moved around a little bit. So extremely important, guys. Just keep some sort of motion.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So another thing that I want to tell you guys is what to look out for, since we're already talking about this. Like, what, how do you know you have a blood clot? So if you guys heard my episode with Teresa from Transforming Teresa, she actually had a blood clot after her surgery. She had 47 pounds of skin removed.
Oh my God. Yes.
She used to weigh 600 mm-hmm. pounds. She lost like 400 and something Amazing. Pounds. Amazing. And she had a blood clot, and she told me on our episode, she's like, I knew I didn't want, I was not walking around. She's like, I was tired. I couldn't do it. And luckily, because she had such a good relationship with her surgeon and her surgeon's office, that she mentioned this to them, and they were like, you got to go to the ER. Yep. And luckily, you know, the blood clot was caught. Everything's, they did treatment, and blood clots do happen. I yep. don't want you guys to think like, oh, if it happens to you, something's wrong with, like, yeah, it happens all the time.
It happens. Yeah.
And you just have to, like, that's why I kind of harp on the importance of having a good relationship with your surgeon and their staff.
And listen to your body. Like if something doesn't feel right, even if you feel like it's the stupidest thing, call your doctor, let them know. Because if you feel something is not right, it's probably not right. Never try to suffer in silence. Always call your doctor. Absolutely. Or call your post-op provider. Because I will tell you, hey, call your doctor. It sounds like this, but you want to call speak your doctor
up.
First. Yeah,
yeah, speak for up. Sure. Who you have, if you're listening to the show, you know the importance of having a team around you. So whether that be your post-op care, your surgeon, their coordinator, me, my team, like you need a team around you because you're going to speak up like, oh, for example, if you were talking to me, you're one of my girls on the membership and you're telling me you're having shortness of breath, I'm going to tell you to go to the emergency room.
Yep.
If you are talking to a friend who's never had surgery and they don't really know what's up, they're not going to be like, hey, you need to go to the emergency room. Something might be wrong. Yep. So these are types of conversations that, you know, Courtney, myself, people who are in the post-op world and in the plastic surgery world, like we have these conversations all the time and we kind of know like, okay, that doesn't sound right.
Mm-hmm.
You need to go see somebody. Yep. And it's really important. So important.
Very.
So you told us what you've been seeing coming from Miami, mm-hmm. which, oh, I forgot to say. So the Faja doctor and I wanted to do an episode on comparing, you know, fast food, kind of like what we like to call it in Miami, uh-huh. like fast food service versus like a sit down dinner.
I like that. There is a difference. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you didn't have surgery in Miami?
Nope. Both my procedures were in Chicago. Dr. Azizi. But there is a huge difference in even the work in Chicago versus Miami versus DR versus Columbia. I will say, again, we're going to talk about Dr. Azizi. He's the first doctor that I ever saw that was snatching the girls up like Miami. Like, I started seeing his work and I'm like, he's from Chicago?
But let me tell you why. So there's a handful of surgeons here in the U.S. Mm-hmm. that are actually going to Columbia
and training.
Yeah. And he's one of them. Mm-hmm. He's learning and they're learning, which I think is beautiful. And mm-hmm. they have this big plastic surgery text messaging group, like all these BBL doctors. And they're like sharing information and they're mm-hmm. sending pictures and they're like giving each other advice on what mm-hmm. to do. And like, it's so beautiful. I love it. Mm-hmm. So Dr. Azizi, Dr. Marshall, Dr. Brian Wang, mm-hmm. Dr. Jung, all yes. of these guys.
Shout out to Young Money.
Yeah. All of these guys have gone to Columbia mm-hmm. to train with Dr. Alfredo Hoyos, yes. who, if He's you like guys.
The godfather of lipo.
Lipo HD. Like yeah. he was the guy who like in the textbooks is teaching plastic surgeons how to do high definition lipo and ab etching and all of that crazy stuff. If you have not checked him out on Instagram, you're missing out because his before and afters are,
man, chef's kiss.
Beautiful. I wish I looked like that.
Girl, period. Okay.
He's so good.
But yeah, you definitely see a difference in the girls coming from Miami. You get that vixen look, right? But Dominican Republic, you're like straight video vixen. Like the waist to hip ratio is ridiculous. As far as the post-op care component, they come back super inflamed, right? Because we talked about this on the episode Eunice and I were on. You can go get your teeth done, your BBL, your tummy tuck, your arms, everything done at the same time. So you're like super, super inflamed. There's also not as much regulation there as there is here. So they're coming back feeling different from a massage therapist standpoint and even looking different. Chicago doctors, we have limitations, right? So some are not going to make you as curvy. Now, I was going to say over the past 4 to 5 years, that has changed with a lot of the doctors in Chicago. So you will have some good work. However, if you want that fixin' look, don't come to Chicago for that.
Not that Not super.
We call it like a country club BBL, where it's like, did she get something done? We're not sure. She looks great, you know.
She looks great, but did she?
Did she? I don't know. Now, some girls want to look like they had something done, so don't come to Chicago for that. But if you want to get some good work and look like, did she work out? I don't know. We're not sure.
She did something.
She did something. Come to Chicago. We have some good doctors in Chicago. Shout out to Dr. Rosette, who does a bomb tummy tuck. Brian Rosette. Chicago Breast and Body. You want a good country club BBL? Go to them. They're really, really good. So Chicago, you know, we're always the last with certain things, but we're getting there. We're getting there.
You're the first this time with Dr. Azizi.
That part.
You know, I'm really interested in knowing, since you see so many people coming from the DR, are they over liposuctioning?
Honestly, I think so. It's the inflammation for me. The body can only handle so much, and they just come back. You know, they have no regulation. So I think they're probably going over the limit. You're getting a lot of combo procedures at the same time. I think so.
I think so, too. Let me tell you guys that I've had girls, and it hurts my heart because there's not very much that I can do for them. Like, I can try my best to try to help them, but there's only so much that can be done once you've been over lipoed.
Yep.
Over lipoed, like, I don't know if you guys remember from an episode previously that I did with Dr. Andrea and Dr. Weejay, where we were talking about how sometimes I talk to girls on the phone and they're looking for no pinch between the skin. So like, they want to pinch their abdomen skin and for it to be like
nothing. And that's so unrealistic.
It really is, because the reason why you see a good lipo BBL surgeons, tummy tuck surgeons, leaving that small thin layer of fat behind is because it camouflages any irregularities underneath the skin, underneath that small thin layer of fat. It camouflages it. Yes. Once you remove that,
you can see everything.
You can see
so
everything.
Without under the fat is called fascia, right? So when you get that lipo, it's creating scar tissue in the fascia of the skin. So without that layer, you're going to see, that's when you get lipo belly and stuff like that. You start to see that little stuff. So you want the fat, and fat is protection. We need fat. Fat's there for a reason. But to not have any pinch to the skin, that's super unrealistic.
But you know, also a lot of girls don't know. Yeah. Right. So they don't know what they're asking for or what they're looking for. They're just seeing what is out there or what other people are talking about or requesting. Mm-hmm. And that's another reason why it's so important to, even though your friend went to so-and-so and he did a great job on her, and your other friend went over here and they did a great job on them, do not. You can go have a consultation with their surgeon. Yeah. Hit me up. Let me see if you might be the right fit for me. But do not take it as, oh, my friend went to him, so he's going to do a good job on me too.
Because totally different body.
Totally different body. And number one, totally different body. Number two, a lot of you guys have not seen your friends naked.
That part.
And their results are not as good as you think. Mm-hmm. And you know.
Spill the tea. Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't mean it in a negative way, but I mean like, you don't see the true work. Mm-hmm. So maybe like you're coming to me and you're like, oh, my friend went to so-and-so and he did such a great job. And I'm like, really? He did? Mm-hmm. And it's because, and I'm like, have you seen her in a bikini? Have you seen her undressed? And they're like, oh no, I saw her in a dress and I saw her here. And it's like, well, you don't know what it looks like under there. Yep. You do not know. I can't stress that enough. Mm-hmm. So if your friend went to Dr. So-and-so, that doesn't mean that that doctor is for you.
Yep.
If your friend went and saw this other guy, that doesn't mean that that guy's for you. Yep. You can have consultations with them. You can see if you like their office, their personality, their work, their bedside manner, their aftercare, all of it. Like, you really have to take everything into consideration.
Yes.
And I don't want you guys to go to your first consultation and leave a deposit. I cannot stress this enough.
God, don't do that. So many people do that.
So many people. I just had somebody today and she left an $8,000 deposit on her first consultation. And I'm like, can we get it back?
Yeah, guys. Oh my God. And that's a lot of money. Oh my God.
It's a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, And another thing is that you guys are going to consultations, booking your first consultation, and you don't even know what the, like, you've never been on a consultation, so you don't know what this stuff costs. So you go to your first one and you're like, I guess this is what it costs. And then you leave a deposit and then you come out and you're like, oh crap. You start having buyer's remorse. Yep. Who doesn't? Who wouldn't? Right.
Right. Right.
You start having buyer's remorse and you start researching and then you're like, oh crap. That guy charged is quoting me 70 grand. This guy over here is charging me 25. What the hell is the difference? Mm-hmm. There's a big difference. You need to come talk to me about it. I'll tell you.
Period. Mavi, drop the mic.
There's a big difference. And a lot of the people who are, you know, charging those prices, they do have people paying for it, but a lot of them are celebrities. A lot of them are people who have 70 grand, you know, to pay that type of surgery. I don't have 70 grand to pay for a tummy tuck lipo BBL. Maybe I can find 20. Mm-hmm. I can probably figure something out with like under 30, but I do not have $70,000. Right. And I don't really, the women that I'm trying to help, moms just like me, girls, women who work in an office and they live the same life of me. I'm sure they probably don't have $70,000 just lying around. So when you're shopping, you cannot go to that first quote.
Yeah. We don't buy the first house that we see, you know?
No. And we don't marry the first man. Well, I mean, I hope not.
You might, but you know, that's another episode.
Me and Courtney had such a good lunch, you guys. We're both divorced, so we were having a fun time. Oh my God, I
was talking about everything.
It was so much fun, though.
Yes,
but it's the truth. Mm-hmm. A lot of the stuff that I tell you guys, you're not going to hear it from anybody else. I mean, you're not going to hear it unless you're having a conversation with Courtney or with your massage therapist or somebody who's already gone through the process. So I'm trying to tell you guys so you don't go and make these mistakes.
Yeah, don't waste the money. Don't waste the time.
Mm-hmm. Don't waste the energy.
That part.
Another thing is if you are going through the tummy tuck surgery, you're getting liposuction surgery, you're doing something, it's really important. And I think Courtney being on this episode is proving it's really important for you to worry about the post-op care. Mm-hmm. I can't tell you how many times I hear recommendations from surgeons are different, like all over the wall. Mm-hmm. 3 weeks, 4 weeks, don't massage at all.
Yeah.
1 day after, 24 hours after, 48 hours after, 72 hours after. Like there's so much, there's so many different opinions. But what we can agree on is that massages do help improve the results.
Yeah. They help, they make a difference. My thing has always been, don't you want to just feel better? You know, you want to feel better faster. There have been doctors that didn't recommend massages to their clients. The client themselves did their own research, end up booking. They go to their post-op and the doctor's like, oh my God, what have you been doing? You look great. Oh, I've been getting massage. Now they're recommending
massage.
Because some doctors just didn't understand the necessity, you know, but it does make a huge difference. We make the work look better. I can help you maintain. I can look at you and know, okay, we might have an issue with something being uneven that I can put your eye on. And say, hey, when you go to your post-op visit, mention that to him. Mm. You know, I see things that you don't see.
We're looking at things that they're not looking at.
Correct. So it's very, very important. You don't know how many times I've gotten a message from someone. Hey, I'm landing today. Do you have any appointments today?
No, I've been booked for 3 months.
I don't. So please, when you know that you're when you get your date, I always tell people, look, when you get your surgery date, if you're traveling, especially know when you're coming home. Okay. Book your appointments. Like you should have your post-op care set as soon as you know your surgery date. Mm-hmm. Don't scramble when you're on your way home, you know, when you're leaving the recovery house, whatever the case may be, trying to find a post-op care, because that's when you make a mistake mm-hmm. and you pick the wrong person, the person that happened to be available.
Why are they available is the question.
It's for a reason. You're just picking someone because at this point you're desperate, right?
Right. You're looking for what's available.
You're looking for what's available. You need to do your research on your post-op person just as you would do your surgeon. That's why on my website, everyone knows, you can see my picture. You know, I have a daughter. You know where I live. You know, I went to school. All this stuff. On my Instagram, I show a little bit of my personality. All my clients know I'm at Starbucks. I'm kissing the babies. I'm kissing the puppies. But you also see my work and you see that I'm snatching you up too. Mm-hmm. So like I mentioned earlier, look at the Instagram, do your research, all that stuff. So
absolutely. I think you guys can't go wrong when you start doing your research and you plan. Oh my God. I can't tell you how many messages I get from girls who tell me it wasn't as hard as I thought and you were 100% right. I did need to pre-stock my fridge and my medicine cabinet yep. and my...
And it's less stress after the fact because everything is done and all set up.
Yeah, you're done. It's just relax and yep. receive.
And let us take care of you.
Yeah, let us take care of you. You've done the hard work. You've already done all of the legwork, all of the research, collecting your money. Like, you've already done all of that. And that's why it's so important to, after, when you trust your surgeon and you trust your care team, you can relax. You can like, okay, they got yep. me. I'm in good hands. Yep. They got me. They're
all
keeping an eye on me.
Drink water and eat your vegetables.
Drink water, walk after yes. your walk every 2 to 3 hours, eat your protein mm-hmm. and eat your vegetables. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Yeah.
Do your journaling. Do your meditation in the morning. Do some manifesting.
Yes, we manifest good things. Yes.
Do some manifesting. Enjoy this time that you have to recover instead of feeling like you're tied down. Because I can tell you from experience that it's not so much like physically, when you start to physically feel a little bit better. Maybe that's like week two, right? But like that first week to second week is hard because in your brain, you're working. Yeah. Like your brain's working at 100%, like all cylinders running unless you're on pain meds. But your body, it's not like, oh, let me get up and fold this clothes. Yeah. Excuse me, I'm not getting up. Yeah. So there's that disconnect between your brain and what you think you can do. And physically what you can do because of your surgery.
Yep. And it's really hard for someone who, you know, is on the go. Like, you know, everyone who knows me, I'm always like, I'm moving, I'm doing something. So my girl, my first week was terrible. Because it was just like, oh, I need to do this, I need to do that. But I had planned for that, right? So I had my mommy taking care of me. Shout out to my mommy. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's hard because you're in pain, but you feel like, oh, I got to do this. Especially us moms. Mm-hmm. There's always something for us to do and make sure it's taken care of, but make sure that you have everything in place so that when it's time to recover, you can recover, because recovery is important.
It's like, important.
You have to take the time to just relax and recover.
Relaxing. I had an episode with, I believe the episode is called, it's a recovery diary. The first one from the season. Sorry, you guys, I had a brain fart, but the first episode, recovery episode of this season 3. It was actually with one of my really good friends, Melanie, and she was talking about how for her, what made the difference, because she has 3 kids at home and they're all like 9, 4, and like 3 or something like that. They're small. Mm-hmm. And for moms, like, we worry about our kids mm-hmm. nonstop.
Yep.
So something that helped her was like she's like, I pretended in my mind, like, I am not going to be here for the next 3 weeks. What would my kids need if I am completely unavailable for the next 3 weeks? She's like, I restocked on diapers. I stocked the fridge. I ordered Tylenol. I got Tylenol in case they got sick. I did this. She's like, I did everything so that if something were to happen, like if they get sick, I got Tylenol. Don't worry. If they need you, I got a box of diapers in the garage. Yep. She's like, we need baby wipes. There's a box of baby wipes exactly. in the garage. Like, nothing to worry about. Mm-hmm. And she said it really made a big difference for her, because another thing she did was she meal prepped. So she meal prepped for herself and for her kids. So her mother-in-law, who came to take care of her, didn't have to worry about her and only worried about helping with the kids. And
I love that.
That was really good and easy. She's like, it was like a vacation. I'm like, don't. Come on. And she's like, it was.
Oh my God. But that's good though.
Well, it's because she was so prepared. And that's really it. Honestly, that's what's going to make the biggest change in your recovery is how prepared are you?
It takes the stress away. Like, so much stress is taken off if you just prepare. And the meal prep, that's a really good one.
I always tell them, meal prep, keep it in the fridge, make it easy. So whoever's taking care of you, they can just pull out your whatever Ziploc, Tupperware, whatever you have it in, pop it in, cook it, warm it up for you, and you're good. And you, like, for my girls who are very health conscious or like who are following strict diets, it's like, you're not worried about what they're cooking for you because you already pre-planned it yourself and you already know what you're going to eat. So it makes it so easy. And so if you're listening, preparation is going to be the thing that really, really helps you with your recovery.
Yes. Especially with kids. If you have a family, definitely. Even if you live by yourself, like I was talking to you about, if you're by yourself and having to recover, think about that meal prep for yourself. You know, have everything in your house that you would need that you can just grab and you don't have to think about.
Yeah. But do not recover by yourself for that first, like, 48, 72 hours.
You definitely need somebody.
You need somebody with you. No
matter what you had done, you need somebody there with you. Even if you don't need help getting out the bed or just to talk you down off the ledge.
Ooh, girl.
Because you're going to think you are about to die. Like, I remember the first time I had to cough.
Oh, you have to hug a pillow.
Yeah. So I was trying to, like, gently clear my throat. Like, I'm like, it was not working. I said, okay, Courtney, you're going to have to really cough, girl. I had to grab the sides of the bed and, like, and just cough. I saw stars, like, literally. And I'm like, mommy, oh my God. I'm like, I popped something. She's like, you're okay. But no, you definitely do need someone those first few days. And then you can handle it by yourself, most likely. But girl, yeah.
Those first 72 hours, I think, are the roughest. It's, if you get Exparel, like those first 72 hours, you don't really feel too much pain, like in your abdomen, unless you're coughing.
Yes.
But after that Exparel starts to wear off and you start to feel stuff again, hug the pillow. Hug that pillow like your life depends on it.
Yes. Oh my goodness. We made it, girl.
So I'm so happy I had Courtney on today. I feel like this conversation has been so fruitful because we have so much that we could talk about. It's been an hour.
Has it? Oh my God.
Girl, we have too much to talk about. But I will come back. Have you back on soon. When you come back, she might be moving to Houston. We'll see.
Oh my God. I'll just be a snowbird. I can't leave my Chicago peeps.
Well, you guys in Chicago, take care of her and make sure she comes back because I love having you. And
girl, thank you for having me.
We can do another episode and talk more like this because this is what my girls love. Mm-hmm. And they like to hear other people's experiences, what you're seeing, you know, because you're a professional and you're seeing this day in and day out. Mm-hmm. Myself, I'm talking to people. I'm seeing this every day. And you guys at home don't really get to experience these things because, like, I had somebody today, she's like, I don't know anybody who has had surgery.
Wow.
She's like, and I have nobody to talk to about this.
Wow.
And in a situation like that, like, you can feel really lonely because you're like, am I doing the right thing? Yeah. Am I being vain? Am I crazy for wanting this?
And no, you're not, girl.
You're not crazy. I can promise you that if you were to start talking to your friends and be like, hey, I want to get a tummy tuck.
So do I, girl.
You would be hearing, oh my God, me too. Where are you going to go? Mm-hmm. Who are you seeing? Yeah, where are you following? Let's get together. Yeah. And all it takes is you opening up to your friends. Of course, you know which friends you can open up to. The good friends that you can talk to, open up. And I bet you they're dying to have a procedure too.
For sure. And if not, you're going to set a trend in your friend group.
Girl.
You're going to come back looking good. And they're going to be like, okay, hold up.
Okay, wait. Where did you go? Who did you go see? You guys have heard me talk about how in my friend group, I was the first one who had surgery. And I knew, like, all my friends knew I worked in plastic surgery. Uh-huh. So they knew. But then when I had my tummy tuck, like, 6 months later, one of my really close friends was like, hey, I want to have surgery. And I'm like, done. You got it, bitch. And then soon after her, one of my other friends, mm-hmm. hey, I want to have a surgery. Done. You got it. Mm-hmm. And then I had shortly after her, we had my other friend and she was like, hey, I don't want to be left out. Mm-hmm. Now we're that hot friend group.
I know that's right. I know that's right. Mm-hmm.
And that can be everybody. That can be you too. That can be you listening at home.
I'm all about looking better, being, you know, for yourself. Don't you do it for nobody else.
Exactly.
Do it for yourself.
Do it for yourself. If you're having surgery because, I mean, I think I've told this story before where I've had patients who are coming in to have surgery because they think that after surgery, like, their husbands will stop cheating on them.
They're not. They're not.
Nothing you do will stop a man from cheating. So do not go have surgery thinking that you're going to get your man back. Cut your losses.
Yep.
Bye.
Bye.
And then come back with a revenge body.
Period. We need to have another episode. Girl.
Okay, you guys. That was it for this episode. I'm so happy I had you on,
Thank
Courtney.
Thank you for having me, we girl. Will Y'all come follow back me soon. At Chicago Massage on Instagram. DM me. Tell me, you know, what's going on with you. Shout me out, whatever. Say hello. Give me a Starbucks card. I don't know.
All right, you guys. Bye.
Bye.
To all of my girls and guys out there who are on their plastic surgery journey and you have no idea where to start, I am so excited to tell you about the Beautiful Mind event and workshop. So what we're doing, you guys remember a few episodes ago, Make It Pop and Big Butts No Lies are collaborating and we're throwing a huge event. It's called the Beautiful Mind event, virtual and in person, May 19th and 20th. Here in Houston, and virtually you can get your tickets and you can attend from anywhere around the world. You do not have to be in the US. You can be anywhere. You can purchase your ticket and you can join our virtual event. And let me tell you about this event. It is jam-packed with all-star speakers. Like, you guys, I'm hosting this event, right? A lot of our speakers have been on the show. We have the beautiful, beautiful Kylie Nutrition Plastic Surgery. We have the beautiful and very talented Dr. Redmond. We have Dr. Azizi. He's going to be there. We have so many more. I am so excited about this event, you guys. We're going to talk about what to look for in your plastic surgeon, talking about different procedures. We're going to talk about nutrition. We're going to talk about recovery. Imagine everything that you've been scouring the internet for all in one place, one price, one worksheet, one information, and it's valuable, reliable information from board certified plastic surgeons and board certified providers. This event is a one of a kind. There's nothing out there like this and you guys cannot miss it. So the tickets are on sale now. You can visit www.makeitpopusa.com and you're going to find the join the wait list. You'll start getting your information for the event. And to top it all off, are you ready for this part? We're having a watch party here in Houston for all of my girls who need that one-on-one help and you're here in the city or even surrounding areas. You cannot miss out on this event because it's going to be in person on the 20th of May. We are going to be having a workshop. So we're going to go over all of the stuff that I just talked about, but in person, and you're going to be able to have a virtual or in-person consultation with a board certified plastic surgeon. Did you hear that? And it's included in your ticket price. You can have a consultation with a master injector. You heard that right. You can have a consultation with massage therapists giving you information. You can have a consultation and hear everything and anything that you need for your plastic surgery journey. You cannot miss out on this event.
If you enjoyed this episode, please go on Apple, write me a review. It's the best way for other women who are just like you, who need help, who are looking for information, valuable information on the internet. This is how they're going to find it. So go on Apple, give me a 5-star review. If you love this podcast, if you want to support the podcast, the best way to support the podcast is through the website. If you need help through your journey, if you need help finding a surgeon, if you want to join the membership, if you're looking for Bruise Juice, you guys don't sleep on Bruise Juice. Y'all know I have my Bruise Juice 30 coupon code for y'all to use if you're having a BBL, if you're having liposuction, if you're having a tummy tuck, if you need to be using Bruise Juice all over your body. Stop using those other brands that are not tailored for your post-op recovery. Bruise Juice is formulated for your recovery. It's amazing. It nourishes your skin. It helps your fat transfer live. Don't sleep on Bruise Juice. Bruise Juice 30 is the code.
And don't forget, new episodes every Monday. I'll see you then.